At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Oh, man, Rob, my boy, you already know what it is. We're live, Bromigos Podcast.
Live.
Weekly episode, just me and Rob this week. We don't have our third Migo, Visky, but he's with us in spirit.
Yes. You know, yeah. Not bone in spirit, but just you know.
Yeah.
Spirit.
You know? Yeah, he's on special assignment.
Yay. Special assignment. Special assignment. Special assignment.
Special assignment. So this week, as usual, you know, we got to talk with you guys. Sports as usual. A couple things on our mind that we want to talk about with you, the masses, the people who come here and watch our show. First of all, we're also going to make an announcement that this Bromigos channel, for all of the people who have subscribed, this is going to become the Bromigos Clips channel. We are going to have a new channel that I will link to this channel. That will be the Bromigos live channel, where we will have all our further live podcasts from. Also, I will be going live during certain games. That way I can sit, talk with the people. You people come to YouTube, you talk with me. You know, maybe if Rob Visky have time to pop in, they'll pop in and we'll all talk as a group about what we're watching at the time, whether it be a basketball game, a football game, baseball game, no matter what it may be. But
I just had to get that out.
Go right. We have to talk about what is going on in the NBA right now. Okay, so first things first. In Dallas.
Ito.
If you people don't know, the Mavs fired Nico. Okay. Mm-hmm. Whenever the Mavs fired Nico, it's a couple things went through my head. Man, this does not look good, Rob. I don't know what you was thinking.
Not at all.
But I know I was thinking this does not look good for what's going on right now. The Mavs firing Nico was just a crazy. I'm not going to say it was totally crazy, but I'll say this. The results of the trade are not looking the way that they want it to look. Okay? And I say it from the jump. The Mavs' biggest issue with trading Luka for AD was, it's two Ferraris. It's just one of them constantly breaks down. Okay? You can't have a car that's constantly breaking down. And that is Anthony Davis. Okay? And, of course, Anthony Davis started off hurt, and he's continually still been hurt and missing games, hurt. So this is not a good trade.
A tradition unlike any other.
A tradition like none other. And it's crazy, Rob. It's crazy that we look at this because Luka has been balling out of control. Luka has that Laker team with no LeBron looking like they can go be a fourth, fifth seed easy right now in the West. They have been putting in work. I feel like Luka has helped DeAndre Ayton's career flourish again. Which is nuts.
Like the number one and the number three pick in the draft basically are helping each other.
Yes. They are helping each other to hire. Just they're going up. And AR-15 and Austin Reeves is shining. Rui and them are shining. These people are there just living life at the helm of Luka Doncic. And it makes me think, Nico, maybe you deserve to get fired a little bit, bro. You just saying. Just a little bit, Rob. Just a little bit.
So, I'll put it like this. I don't think Nico should have been fired. And it's confusing. So I'll put it like this. Because even though I just said, I'll just put it like this. Nico Harrison, as far as what they built in the years that he was there, was a championship level team. So if you go back to what was it, the year prior, or the year that the Celtics won it, the team that was in represented the Western Conference was your Dallas Mavericks, which was a team that Nico Harrison helped put together, getting PJ Washington in, getting Gafford, all those guys to basically help with Kyrie, basically making it to where Luka had more help to make that, make sure that team was good and up and running. And then he made the trade that basically I still feel like was a fever dream, which was Luka Doncic going to the Lakers. So it was really more like a tale of two niggas, if you will. Like, Nico Harrison basically had gave the best of times, which was a finals appearance that they hadn't had in, what, damn near 15, 20 years?
No. What it was, 2010?
Well, 2011 to 2020. So let's say like a decade. So like a decade. You know. The first time they basically been to the finals in at least a decade. And also the most monumental trade that have ever sounded, which was the worst time. The only thing I will say about Luka, the only thing I will say about the Luka Doncic trade and where Nico really fucked up was that he did not go and basically venture out and do a little bit of teamwork and basically try to find more bidders in order to basically get good value for Luka Doncic. He went to one team because he had one thing in mind, and basically that was defense. So he was like, where can I find a top 75 player that is one of the best defensive big men in all the NBA? Where can I find one? And that is Anthony Davis. The problem is that is if Anthony Davis is on the court, because that's been the key. And granted, up until that point, Anthony Davis had been playing. I think he had two straight seasons of 70-something games played. Like, and I'm going to go back to it just to kind of do, because I just said that, so I'm going to do a little research on the fly. But he was playing a decent amount of games on a very regular pace up until the trade that was happening. So yeah, the year before he got traded, he played 76 games. That was the most he had played since 2017.
Yeah.
And so it was to where, okay, this might be something of an upswing. Like, this might be a guy that we could work with, especially pairing him with Kyrie. What you didn't bank on was Kyrie tearing his ACL.
Yes,
because that's one of the things like we have to also think about. Kyrie Irving is with healthy ACL. Anthony Davis with, you know, health, relative health, as you know, basically if you take the 2023-24 season, you got an impairment that possibly, if say they do get the number one pick and get Cooper Flagg, that's a pretty good combination. Like, that, you can't really say that going in with those three guys, you would have something that is a team that is basically floundering and failing. But that is where I basically say, like, hey, you needed to go get a better player. Because I do contend that if Nico Harrison, say, calls the Bucks and say, I'll give you Giannis for Luka straight up, I think the Bucks take that offer. I really do. Because for both sides, you basically have Luka going to a team that, A, he's younger than Giannis.
Yeah.
B, he basically is a premier scorer and an all-NBA talent. So you can basically give that as an easy sell to your fans that have basically grown to love Giannis in the same way. And then in Dallas, you basically say, hey, we have a defensive player that we can pair with Kyrie, that we can basically make a nightmare pick and roll out of with anyway. And so, like, you basically, and he's an all-NBA, a defensive player of the year, an MVP. And a future, praising when they make the NBA 100, NBA 100 greatest players ever. I don't know if he was top 75, but I think he probably was. Okay. But Giannis.
Giannis, I think Giannis will probably be top 75 whenever.
Yeah. So I mean, you have basically, you would have had a player like that. He just fucked up by basically picking the wrong dude, and that happens. That really does happen. It's a monumental fuck up. It's a fuck up that is hard to come back from. But it is a fuck up that he basically had to live. So, like I said, on one end, he shouldn't have been fired because he did build a championship level team. On the other end, he basically fucked up state championship level team.
I never thought about it like that, but now that you say it like that, yes, but then I can't get over the back half. The back half is the part that hurts
that's
the
most. And that's really it. That's really what it comes down to. Like, that back half is so big. Like, it's Meg Thee Stallion big.
Because we're 12, 13 games in the season, and Anthony Davis played 5.
Right.
We're already starting off on the wrong foot. Right. Granted, Kyrie, and I will say this, granted, every time Kyrie has had something wrong with a leg or Achilles or something, it hasn't necessarily affected his game because he doesn't play an above-the-rim game. He's a break-you-down, score a jump shot, little bit of post game. He's sly. He maneuvers. He can do his thing. You know, jelly layup here. That doesn't affect his game. It's like KD. KD's a jump shooter. Yeah, he can dunk the ball. He gonna post up. Him with the Achilles didn't affect him any. He came right back. Still 25 a game. Boom. Whatever. AD is just so broke. They had a TikTok that I saw that was like Laker players rides, and I think it's the one that I shared, you know, where everybody was leaving in like Porsches and this, that, and the other. Whenever they got the AD, it was ambulance. And I was like, you on something, right?
For real.
Because that's what he rides in a lot. We're constantly hollering about that he's in the hospital. And already to start the year, he's played less than half of the games already. And it's already bad enough that they don't have Kyrie right now. And you have a rookie. We can't afford for you not to be out right now. We can't afford for you not to be on the floor right now. Okay? And he's hurting them. He's hurting them. And I know Jason Kidd is probably like, if he had hair, he'd pull it.
Dog, that man looks like I don't want to be here no more. I think Jason Kidd really does want to coach. And I can see him basically having pride and be like, I really want to coach this team. I took to the finals. But this is a lot, dude. He putting fuck his number one overall pick, small forward, at point guard. That's where he's living his life, man. Like, versus having D'Lo basically be the starting point guard.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. I might roll the dice on D'Lo. Because D'Lo is known to go off every now and then. I'd roll the dice. At this point, and Brandon Williams, so him is known to go off. He had a big game in the playoffs. Look, if I'm him, I'm rolling the dice with the lineup. I don't give a damn right now. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to win games. Anything. Because AD being out, this is not good. This is not good. Like, it's horrible, bro. This is a horrible thing. It's a horrible thing. Now, while we're also talking a little NBA right now, Rob, I see that you put this up here on the list, and I do want to talk about this because I pulled up all of the fine details for it. The new NBA All-Star Game format. Well, how do you feel about this? Realistically, I want to know how you feel about this first.
So... I think this is a future failure. Before Nate basically gives y'all the details about this, I'm going to basically preface this. This is like a pre-fuck up. Like this, that's the best way I can basically put this whole thing. It's a pre-fuck up. And Nate, if you can go through the details of what it's supposed to be. I could go. I got to pull it up too. If you want me to go through.
I'll do this. So all right. The NBA All-Star Game has a new format for 2026, which is a three-team round-robin tournament featuring two American teams and one team of international players. Instead of positional requirements, the 24 total players selected for the All-Star Game will be based on overall votes. With the top five vote getters being started and the next seven being reserves regardless of position. So first of all, we playing for pickup basketball right here. We playing pickup basketball, whoever. And look, the ultimate way to throw this off is going to be whenever these bigs, Jokic, Giannis, on way up them, and both of them on the court at the same time, which ain't too bad. But it's when it is if you get another one, like Wimby. Mm-hmm. Like you're throwing 2-3 bigs on one side out there at one time, this may become an issue. Okay. Now, regardless of the position, is how they're going to be sorted. If the initial 24 players don't have a 16-8 split between American and international players, the commissioner will add players to meet the minimum of 16 Americans and 8 international players.
Y'all
tracking
already
off the rip. Yeah, already off the rip. Already off the rip. This is foolishness. This is where we headed. But we asked for something different. I know that they don't listen to me. I've said multiple times what could really be done, but they don't listen to me. So, you know, we're going to keep going. Tournament structure. Two teams of American players and one team of international players. Format is going to be the round robin, like I said before. They're going to play a total of 4 12-minute games, okay? Mm-hmm. The whole game is going to be 12 minutes. The whole game is going to be the length of the first quarter, okay? That's what we're looking at, okay? Mm-hmm. Then the two teams with the best records will play in the championship game. If there's a tie in the standings, point differential will be used. They stole this point differential shit from the NBA Cup because this is something that they added to that. Okay. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have a disaster incoming.
Oh my God. That nobody's going to keep up with.
We have a disaster incoming. What was the failed launch that we had of the spacecraft?
Oh, you talking about the Challenger?
It's Challenger all over again. It's Challenger all over again.
It's a future. It is so fucking bad and unnecessary. Because, for one, when's the last time you basically said, hey, man, look, these world players, like these international players, you know, like they always doing this. Like it's USA versus them. The only time it was during the Olympics, and that was because we were playing against other countries. This is an amalgam of the world. So think about the fact that, A, we haven't had a U.S.-born, like we talked about this on the show a bunch of times. We haven't had a U.S.-born MVP in the NBA since James Harden, like 8 years ago now, 7-8 years ago, whatever it was. We haven't had anybody that really has claimed the fame of, hey, best player in the world from here. Like we talked about who could win it, Anthony Edwards, the Jason Tatums of the world, maybe not as now, but you know, and Jason Tatum from
the Lou.
Thank you. Almost forgot it. But we've always talked about like we don't have guys that are dominating the league right now as far as from here. And so doing this whole, well, now we're just gonna jump the world essentially because we're gonna have two US teams and one international team. What the fuck is that? And then saying, like, hey, well, if they don't have the numbers. Like, if they don't have 16 teams, and they don't have 16 U.S. players, and they don't have 8 U.S. players, then the commissioner can then come in and basically add players to the list. This is going to be a fucking disaster. Like, I can't – because then when they were trying to do the whole thing last year with having the teams and then having, like, the G League team and all that, that's stupid. It's stupid. What they should do, and I've heard this before, and I'll reiterate it here, have the players by state, by the states that they're from, have them represent that and basically see who the best baller is. Because the thing about it is, if you go USA versus world, we don't really give a fuck about that. And a part of the problem with that is, like, if you go by state, then basically you're going to be excluding the world. Like, you're going to be excluding the Jokic's of the world, the Lucas of the world, the Giannis's of the world.
It's actually quite a fair amount of players that some of them are, I'm going to say, maybe all-star level players that could be in this, because I pulled up a list. I started running it. I started kind of scanning it. You do have, like, the big names that we know. Luka, Shai, Jokic, Giannis. But you also got to remember, The ones that we forget are the Canadians. A lot of them.
Which is Shea.
Yeah, but Jamal Murray's there.
Jamal Murray, yep. RJ Barrett.
RJ Barrett. Edgecombe is the Bahamas, who just came in the league. Yep. You have Franz Wagner. He's been tearing it up in Orlando with Paolo. Yep. You have
You got Paolo.
You got Wimby. Rudy, Mr. COVID himself. Laurie Markkanen is there. Kaminga's there. Zubac is there. Like you said, Barrett is there. Dylan Brooks is there. Doherty's there. Andrew Wiggins, Edie. Brandon Clark is there. He's been Alexander Walker, Nikhil Alexander Walker. He's there. Technically, Joel is there, and Yibes is there. That's from New Orleans. Pascal is there.
All right. So
Yusuf Nurkic. So yeah. They might be able to field a decent team.
Oh no, they will be able to field a decent team. The problem is that like how many teams that you would then have? And excuse me, I said Paolo is international. I remember he was trying to – I think he was representing the Italian team or something like that. He's from Seattle. So
yeah.
He's not international.
Oh, and then we forgot about Kyrie. Technically, Kyrie is Australian.
Right. So that's the other thing. So he'll be on the international team then versus the – yeah. So – but overall, it's still the fact of the matter is, like, I think if you basically say, hey, KD, would you rather represent D.C., especially PG County? Or would you rather represent the country? Like if I said Jason Tatum, would you rather represent Missouri, or would you rather represent the USA? I think that you will get if you really are trying to basically make these cats and get the bang for your buck and trying to get them motivated to then basically play, you know, for something, they're gonna play for their hometown or play for their home state more than they're gonna play for this country. Point blank. Like yeah. Saying like, oh, well, you're going to represent this country and they're basically going to get the smashed, you know, helpings of the world. You know, granted, that world team you're going to have probably basically you'll have starting or you're going to have because it's positionless basketball, too. So you're going to have probably Giannis, Gishay, Jokic, Luka, and whoever else I can think of or whatever. Like the fourth or fifth player,
it may be Sengun, it may be
Sengun.
Yeah, they have some good. They have some very good international options. Now, my thing is, if we're going off of votes outside of some of those guys, I don't think that you're going to see them field enough international people strictly off of voters. So he's going to wind up adding to this team.
No, I think he will. I think you can get enough votes for international players. Like I think
you think that they're going to field 8 international players?
Yes. Yes.
You think so? They might.
Yes. Cuz let me pull up. I'm going to look up the list. But like there's enough international players that you can basically be like, "Okay, well,
remember they're based up off of votes."
Right. So, okay. So let's vote. You think Giannis is going to get in?
Oh, yeah.
Nikola Jokic?
Oh, yeah.
Wemby?
Yeah.
Shea?
Yeah.
Say Markkanen.
I don't know if Markkanen is going to make the All-Star.
You don't think Markkanen is fifth in points right
now? Yeah, right now he's balling out, but I don't know if he's going to get voted to go to All-Star. From a basketball perspective, he is balling out for Utah. Right. But I don't know if the people are going to vote him in.
Okay. All right. So let's say we got 4. Let's say we got 4 right now.
I think Sengun might get voted in.
Yeah, Sengun, so 5. So Domantas Sabonis, for example, he's not having a great year. Please represent
Lithuania. He could get voted though. I think
right.
He could get voted.
So that's six.
I think Giddy might get voted in.
I mean, he got a weird case, but you might be right. So let's say 7. And then we just need one more. So
Embiid, maybe.
It wouldn't be Embiid, but I can see Gobert.
RJ Barrett, Gobert. Yeah, so yeah, they should feel. Oh, Richtershire from the Hawks.
Richtershire, yeah. Paolo.
Yeah, Paolo. Yeah,
Paolo. Paolo could get votes off you know, GP alone. That's what I'm saying. Like, they gonna find.
They'll get their team. Okay, so I'll say this. I still don't like this damn format.
Oh no, this format is awful. The format is awful. Like, that's what I'll basically say. Like, the format, I don't think they're basically going with this whole, well, we need to basically find a way to get people motivated. No, man, this not, they don't care like that. If you're talking about USA versus specific countries, if you basically say, okay, we're going to do a tournament and you're going to have the Serbs, the Serbian team come in, you got the French team come in. You going to have all these, if you bring these players in from these countries and basically do like a little mini, kind of do like what the NHL did with the
Four Nations.
The Four Nations. If you do a Four Nations tournament, then you basically can do it. You can do something like that with the NBA All-Star game. If you do it like that, but you got to basically bring in those nations and everything like that in to do that kind of thing. But you could do it like that. So, like, say, let's say we do USA, Spain, France, and Serbia. That would be decent. Yeah, I'd fuck with that.
Yeah, I think you get away with Serbia. Yeah,
I'd actually fuck with that for the All-Star game. But if you're just talking about just point blank, like, okay, we're gonna take these All-Stars and basically smash them up into a team for the world, and then have the USA team basically, that ain't shit for me. I don't care for that. I don't care for that at all. But I would prefer the idea, and it's like I said, this ain't my idea. This is something I heard somewhere else. I'm just bringing it to here. It'd be much better to have these guys play for their state or play for their city versus playing for this country. And if they can basically say, I got a New York team, like, because think about how many New York Hoopers want to basically represent New York. Think about how many of them, like, say if Carmelo was still in the league, even though Carmelo's technically from Maryland, but he claims New York. He claims Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Think about how much he would want to play for Brooklyn versus playing for the country. He'd want to play for the country in the Olympic standpoint as far as the gold medal and all that. But as far as terrestrial, as far as domestic, like, he would want to play for his people. He ain't going to want to play for the, like, and that's why I said KD is the perfect example. Because KD will basically tell you from PG County anytime you get a chance. That's what he wants to represent. He doesn't represent this country. He represents PG County. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, that's where you're gonna get the motivation out of folks.
My thing, my personal thing, is I feel like the All-Star Weekend needs a 1v1 tournament.
I go back and forth on that
one. I'll say this. Look, this is what I'll say. You pull out the 1v1 tournament, but you pull it out and say, hey, winner gets a meal and a car. Give them something to shoot for. Because then you might get some of them dudes who feel like they nice, who beat other dudes in practice to try to get in this. Mm-hmm. That they gonna do this. I'm not against the slam dunk contest being there. I just want actual dunks. I want Zion. I want Ja Morant. I want people like that.
Honestly, I think the slam dunk contest might be dead. And I think it's reason why is because it's so atypical than what the slam dunk, like, because the thing is, when we think of Zion, we think of Ja and everything like that, those are in-game dunkers. And the thing is, when it comes to the slam dunk contest,
Zion won either McDonald's or something like that dunk contest.
Yeah, but the thing about it is,
I think he can do it though.
But winning the slam McDonald's slam dunk contest is really more you're a name, and like you pull out good enough. You don't have to be great at those dunks. You just got to be like, ooh, we got Zion. Candace Parker won it 1 year. Like, ooh, we got Candace Parker. We got LeBron. Like, that's what that's about. It's more like you're going to get the popularity. You're going to get points for popularity. And if you do some decent dunks, you basically out there. But it ain't about quality as much. Or it ain't about quality as much as about popularity. I think the thing is, when it comes to the dunkers, the best dunks are in-game dunks. The best dunks are like those crazy, like, okay, we go on a break. We're in motion. Cause it's so much. Cause the thing about it is, the slam dunk contest is so much stop and start. Like, it's about okay, I'm doing this thing that I did in my head, or I did on the court, or during after practice this one time or these few times, and now I'm perking out in front of y'all. It's like that is so atypical that it's just like that's why niggas can't really like do it like that. Granted, Mac McClung been doing the fucking thing and basically had the motion and everything like that. Look,
I've said it before. I feel like if you're gonna bring them in, you could bring them in with some of these dunk league dudes to help them come up with dunks or whatever you want to do. It's stuff that can be done to revive this. But as far as we're talking about for the All-Star game, this is Basuda. Don't bring me this. I see where we going with this. Mm-hmm. Don't do this. Yeah. This is that Jordan. Look, this is that Michael Jordan moment with that little clip. Stop it. Get some help.
Seek help.
I need him. Look, Mike, I know I wish somebody would see this and clip this and say, look, Mike, I need you to pick up the phone right now and hit him with it.
Stop.
Seek help. Because we going down a road that this is gonna be bad.
Yeah.
Okay. And y'all complaining about ratings right now. Well, no, they're not complaining about ratings right now because shit is up for the cup and stuff right now. But y'all love to complain about whenever ratings time is gonna come in for this All-Star thing. Y'all need to get it together now. Yeah. Get it together now. Cause I promise you, this is not what you wanna put out right now.
Mm-mm. Not at all.
Not even close. Just don't do it. Just don't do it.
Stop.
Yep. See y'all. But after this, we're gonna go ahead and jump from NBA to a little NFL. Okay. No. Before we go NFL, matter of fact, we'll save our NFL.
HUD.
We're going to go MLB.
Oh.
Yeah. MLB, and it's time to put your tinfoil do-rags on.
Get it on.
Rob has to say that they robbed Big Dumper, a.k.a. Cal Riley. They robbed him of his MVP. Rob, go ahead, take the floor and let us know why they robbed this man.
So, guys, if you guys haven't realized, and like Nate just said, Aaron Judge has won the AL MVP for the second. Good job, Aaron Judge, blah, blah, blah. But everybody and their mama know that Aaron Judge did not deserve to win this MVP award more than Kyle Riley. And I'll give you the whole bunch of reasons why. First of all, think about the fact that Kyle Riley is a primary catcher. Now, everybody's going to so many people told me and so many people have said, well, you know, catcher is an important position, but the war wins above replacement had something for accounting for like how what position you play. So let's go like this. So I'm looking right here, wins above replacement on ESPN.com, and I see that as far as the overall season wars, or let's see, just say the American League, number one was Aaron Judge at 9.7, number two was Kyle Riley at 7.4. So if defense basically accounts for what basically, they did and everything like that, then you basically would think that Aaron Judge had a better war than, defensively than Kyle Riley.
Yes.
So let me look at defensive war. So Kyle Riley is 0.1 defensive war. Aaron Judge, negative 0.5. So that would mean he is a worse defender than Kyle Riley is at his given position. Now, just then you would basically say, okay, well, maybe since, Kyle Riley's a catcher, he didn't play as a catcher that many times, or didn't play as a catcher as many times as Aaron Judge. So let me look at catcher. Kyle Riley played 131 games as a primary catcher for whoever's Seattle Mariners. Aaron Judge played 95 games in right field. The other games he DH'd, which Kyle Riley only DH'd 31 games. So there we go. Kyle Riley both played more games at a more grueling position than Aaron Judge did. Now, then you would basically say, okay, well, We talking about triple crown categories. You got three triple crown categories. What are those, man?
Oh, your home run, mm-hmm. your batting average, and your RBIs.
Correct. So who would you think had more? Who would you think had more triple crown categories that they were the top of than the other? Let's say which
I want to say Cal Raleigh.
So Cal Raleigh had more home runs and more mm-hmm. RBIs than Aaron Judge. The only thing that basically stopped Cal Raleigh from winning the triple crown was Aaron Judge basically winning the batting title, which is impressive for a guy that's 6'8". But also, two out of three categories of the triple crown went to the guy playing the more grueling position. And the guy that played the more grueling position hit 60 home runs. Hit 60 home runs for the season. No catcher has ever hit. No primary catcher has ever hit 60 home runs in a season. No switch hitter has hit more home runs because Mickey Mantle has a record for home runs by a switch hitter in a season. No catcher have basically hit more home runs than Cal Raleigh. Big dumper. So with all those things together, why would basically Cal Raleigh... Why would Cal Raleigh not win the MVP? And let me give you another point. Let me give you another fact. Who won the AL East? Because it wasn't the Yankees. It was the Blue Jays.
Oh no! Yeah. Blue Jays won.
Who won the AL West was the Mariners. So Cal Raleigh was playing a more grueling position, hit more home runs, hit more RBIs, was a better defender at his position. Basically, only really and had a division winning team.
Yes,
that only had four less wins than the Yankees. So all of those things together, why would Aaron Judge then win the MVP? And here's where your tenfold do-rag comes into play. Is because for the first time ever, there's been back-to-back league MVPs. So I am saying that because Aaron Judge won it last year and Shohei Ohtani won it this year. Aaron Judge won it this year, and Shohei Ohtani won it this year. I think that the voters conspired against Aaron Judge to basically make sure that basically we had history at the MLB ranks. Between MLB and the voters basically conspired against Cal Raleigh to basically make Aaron Judge the MVP, because now we basically can say for back-to-back years we had MVPs in both leagues be the exact same. That's why. Because people gonna tell me, oh well, Aaron Judge had a great year. He didn't even have as good a year as he did last year. So in all those things coming together, Kyle Raleigh should have been MVP. They say you never trust a big button to smile. Apparently, you don't give an MVP to a big button to smile either. That is fucked up by the voters. That is fucked up by MLB. Kyle Raleigh, you are the MVP. My heart, others' hearts. Everybody that basically knows how this shit goes, that's who should have been the MVP.
So that leads me to this next one. Judgment unfair. And Aaron Judge is not a knock saying that you're a bad player. It's saying that you are unworthy of this MVP.
Yes.
Now, your counterpart in the league, he was very worthy of his. He's that guy.
Big man.
He's the reason he's getting all that money over there, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's also a reason why he's won it 3 years back-to-back in different divisions, and he's won MVP four out of the last 5 years.
Yeah,
legit. He's won an MVP. Don't kill the messenger. Just saying. But Shohei was worthy of what he has been dedicated. Aaron Judge, I'm not. This was robbery. Because if, and I'm not saying that I prayed this on Cal Raleigh, but I'm going to say this. Let's say he hits 50 home runs next year and he doesn't hit 60. We're going to look at this season and say they duped him on this MVP. Because if he hits 50 and somebody else comes out there and has a great batting average and beats him in home runs and then wins the MVP, we're going to always look at this year and say, damn, they robbed you of the one that you should have got from Judge. This is some crazy shit. They screwed this. Now we're forever going to remember this year is the year Kyle Riley got robbed of the MVP because he didn't make it to the World Series.
Neither team did.
Yeah. And I'll be real. Yankees, I'd be praying on y'all downfall. I really do.
I mean, who among us have it, you know, from time to time? But it's just so foul, man. Like, because there's not gonna be another catch to hit 60 home runs. Like, Cal Riley hitting 60 home runs is the catcher version of the Cy Young win 500 some odd wins.
Right? Correct.
Like, there's nobody's gonna get close because it's so hard to be a catcher and then hit that many home runs in a season. Have the leg, the power, enough power in your legs. To after then basically
sitting,
hit
home. Yeah, after like, sitting every in and out.
Yeah. It's so hard to even like be like, you know, hey, this is the person. I don't know, man. It's like Aaron Judge, you had a great season. I ain't saying you didn't. Like you won the batting title, you had great, like you had like 11 OPS. You didn't have the season Kyle Riley did. As far as the context of baseball playing, it's foul. It's very foul, and I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't like it either. Judgment unfair.
Dun, dun.
Yeah, this one should be taken back. We should see about this one being back. Now, Rob, you know, me and you share a college team that we both love. It's right here in the heart of Louisiana. It's Death Valley. So can we talk about the LSU situation just for a little minute real quick?
I really, really want to. This is the fucking wildest shit, dog. Because like, okay, so if you don't know, if you don't follow college football, LSU is great. Not this year, but other years. LSU fired their head coach, Brian Kelly, because he was stinking up the fucking joint.
Throwing
down the fucking headset, like the headset basically making the bad calls. Like, he wasn't a good hire to start with. He was a questionable start hire to basically even come in, even though he had a track record of winning. But they didn't need somebody like Brian Kelly. They just needed an Ed Ogeron-esque type that kept it in his pants, really.
Yes.
But overall, like, yeah, what LSU is doing right now is they're trying to basically make a case that they're trying to fire Brian Kelly for cause so that they don't have to pay him the $54 million that they agreed to with Brian Kelly to basically have him as the head coach, or to essentially say to have him leave from being the head coach. So the fact of the matter is them trying to basically A, fire him from cause, B, the governor talking about basically who was going to coach the team, saying that anybody going to be in the fucking running to basically pick him, but except for the AD that basically hired Jimbo Fisher as the athletic director there, or the president, sorry, basically telling them that, yeah, I don't know who hire this LSU coach, but they ain't gonna be the people that can hire the LSU coach. It's just so goddamn wild, like, because it's really more the fact of them trying to weasel out of a deal while still needing to go get another head coach.
Yes,
whether that is an old boy out of Tulane who I can't remember his name right now, whether that's Joe Brady basically coming back to the team, who would be good. That's whether go try to get Edo back. That's whether they go get Lane Kiffin back or try to get Lane Kiffin out of Ole Miss or something like that. It's so wild out of there. But even though, like, Louisiana is just a wild place unto itself. So it's more like it might just be Wednesday as far as LSU terms go. But it's like, it's just the wildest shit. Them trying to basically say we fired you for cause and try to basically dig up whatever they can. They will basically say they go try to put crack on that man. They go freeze the crack. I saw it on his desk. He was like, "No, that pot. I know it. I seen it."
Look, as an LSU fan, I'll say this, and I'm saying this in my fluffy LSU sneaker slippers right now. as we sit here and record this podcast. If they can swindle this motherfucker, I'm with
yeah.
I know that that sounds bad, people, but just walk with me for a minute. We just had to give O money, and now we got to give his ass some money because he can't get the job done. Thank God today LSU won 23-22. I was not proud of that win over the Razorbacks, who were 2-7 coming into this. But hey, a win is a win. Beggars can't be choosers right now. Okay, we're trying to get our life together over here in Baton Rouge right now. They need to figure out how to do this. Whether it's Joe Brady bringing Coach O back on the staff with somebody else, I don't know what they need to do, but they need to do it.
Okay, but it's fix also this shit. It's also to the fact of, even though I'm like, they should pay the man that they owe his money. If they were to fuck over somebody, a college coach in this world, I'm okay with it being Brian Kelly. Of all people, like Brian Kelly is kind of not the best person to root for. If you look into Brian Kelly's history and how basically, because really the thing that really got him fired was they don't like that dude. Like nobody likes this dude. He had that fake ass accent. He basically always just berating players, talking bad about him in the media. Like, of all people to fuck over, I'm okay with it being him. But the principle of the matter is, I would rather an institution paying somebody what they owe them, especially if that's what they agree to. So I'm kind of torn here on it, but it's also to the point of, fuck Brian Kelly.
So I'll meet you in the middle, Rob. He won 54 million. I'll tell him I give him 23 and all the boo that he can eat in a year.
I just take it.
I feel like that's a fair deal, okay? Because this was not to say that we had Nussmeier, a team that came back from last year that was a well-put-together team that just needed to be coached the right way. And up until a win today, they were 5-4, 4-4, wherever they had you. Come on, bro. Like, we were losing and we were losing. And it's like, I don't feel you know how I feel? Whenever I watch him and he'd lose, it was like he'd lose. And I swear to God, sometimes he was like, this shit don't affect me. And that is an issue to me. That is a major issue to me. Because I'm watching him and he's like, that shit don't bother me that we lost. And I'm like, so this don't bother you?
Like this right here? Like this is fine. Like this is good.
And I was like, the lost Ole Miss? He's like, uh-uh. Now I was like, Texas A&M ass woman? And I was like, bad enough we lost the Bama. And he was like, don't care. And I was like, all right, bet. I see where you at with this. That's one of them times that I'm not going to lie to you, Rob. If I could have caught him in front of one of them cameras down there in Baton Rouge, I'd have whooped his ass. I'd have whooped his ass on national TV. It would have been Brian Kelly catches belt the ass whooping in front of media.
Right. Not on the field this time.
Nah. I'm doing this shit right now in that press conference. Look, y'all gonna have to get me involved in him. Cause he clearly ain't feeling this shit how I'm feeling this shit. We have a lack of communication somewhere in this wins and loss column that he ain't seeing that I'm seeing that he ain't seeing. Right. It is one of them. I know you gotta be thinking what I'm thinking, what you thinking.
Know you see it.
Yes.
You see it.
I damn sure played that young jock for him. I know you gotta see what the hell's going on, Brian. And you just gonna ignore it. Right. Like, we just gonna ignore it. The house is on fire right now.
This was hot in the streets.
Yeah, this was hot in the streets. We just a losing team now. Bet. All right. soon as he'd have turned that corner and he'd have got on that mic, Rob, I'd have popped him like goddamn Michael Jackson and Thriller and got the monkey stomping his ass on that backstage. They had to call the state troopers to get me above him. Okay? They better be on standby. Because I promise you, he does not care. And right now, because he fired, he just want that money now.
Yeah. That's it. Which I understand. Like,
oh, honestly, yeah, I understand. But I don't want to give you 54 million. You ain't even do.
Yeah, of me, all people.
Yeah. To me, you did maybe $15 to $20 million worth of work. Maybe. And that's me being generous. Because if it was me, you would have got a letter that said, kiss my ass, Brian Kelly. Sign price. Ha ha. And that would have been it.
Both cheeks and crack.
Yeah. Both cheeks and crack. Ha ha.
Crack that they try to sprinkle on.
Yep. Because it would have been no reason for me to want to pay you. Zero reasons for me to want to pay you. Why would I pay you? Right. We had a team that was competent, and you took all competency away from that team. That team looked like a shell of itself. Vanderbilt beat us. Okay, which Vanderbilt came in there, they were pretty good. But it's like the Ole Miss loss. I feel like Ole Miss was a winnable game. Okay. Bama didn't blow us out. It was 20-9. It's not like Bama went out here and put belt to ass or some shit like that. Okay. We just barely beat Arkansas, who was a 2-win team this year. A 2-win team, and we almost gave them their third win. We only won by 1 point. Look, Brian, I understand that you want your money. Okay? But could I interest you in fighting one of these black bears down here for your money? If you can win, they'll pay you. But if you can't win and they got to save you, you don't get nothing. If they got to euthanize that bear, you don't get nothing, Brian. We'll make sure you patched up from the hospital, but you don't get no money. Yep. In the words of Mystical, you better be as bad as Mystical was talking when he was rapping. If you see me in the forest fighting the bear, you better help the bear. You better be whooping the bear's ass, okay? Not the bear whipping your ass, because look, I get him involved, you know, and be like, all right, you lost, okay, you don't get no money. That simple. You get zero money now. That shit pains me.
It pains me.
Now, I just got to switch gears from college football to the pro leagues. NFL. We got a few teams. Him or them.
Right. Him or them.
Yeah. We got six teams this week. Him or them. You know how the game goes. Him, if we think that team is them dudes, that they putting in that work, that they look like some contenders, that they look like all that and a bag of chips bucket of chicken. Okay, them, if they ain't hitting, they ain't clicking, they ain't what it is, they can't be what it is.
Ain't that.
And that's where we going. And to start off, the him or them, the Bucks, Rob, him, them, what you got?
So slight him, like I think they're above average him. And I'll say why. Baker Mayfield's been playing great. They're going to get, they got Mekabuku back. They've been having a nice set, still set, and having a nice set of receivers. They might be getting Mike Evans back sooner or later. Chris Godwin getting back sooner or later. Bucky Irvin hopefully gets back sooner or later because people's fantasy teams need him.
Yes.
But essentially, yeah, this is a team, if healthy, they basically are one of the best teams in the NFC. I got them as above average.
Okay, so I agree with you about the above average, but I'll say this. This matchup this Sunday and the matchup next Sunday is going to tell the tale of the tape. They lost to the Patriots by 5. But they got the Bills and they got the Rams back to back. Okay, which the Rams just took a loss. The Bills. Bills, we're not even going to talk about that loss. Okay. that loss is that loss just showed that y'all had the highest of highs and the lowest of lows back to back week. You beat Patrick Mahomes and he turn around and you lose. Go figure. This is go figure on that one. But I do agree with you though that they do have that himness, that slight himness.
It's on it. It's a little bit there.
It's right there. But then it's like, oh, man, y'all are right there. Y'all do it. Y'all might be able to do it.
On the crest of him.
Yeah, y'all on the crest of him. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Eagles.
They are him, but want to be, they have the feelings of them on them. Like, they want to be them, even though they've been killing it. They've been absolutely winning most of their games. 23 or 25 now, something like that. They've been absolutely doing his thing, the defending champs, all of that. But I think they on the cusp of nemdom. Okay. They just basically cannot keep it together. They got AJ Brown basically wanting to fight everybody. The team apparently don't like Jalen Hurts no more because they ain't throwing it downfield. Like they on the crust of them, but they're a him team. They still got plenty of talent. Even though Lane Johnson, I think, is supposedly hurt right now. Like,
yeah,
that's going to be a huge thing that could lead to them being them. But until that basically happens, they are him.
Rob, I'm going to say that they're a him team because they have been winning, but I will say this. I think the Eagles are going to figure out how to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory this season. And you heard that right. Yep. They're going to figure out how to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. I see this shit coming.
Yeah.
This not liking Jalen Hurts. This not being healthy. AJ Brown not wanting to be there right now. It is a bunch of stuff that makes it look like, hey, I don't want to be here. And being past the trade deadline. And this type of feeling is dangerous.
Yep.
This is dangerous. Because he doesn't want to be there, and he made it past the trade deadline. That's totally similar to what's going on with the Jets. You have a person up there that could easily be traded. But they're just like, mm-mm.
Do you mean the Eagles?
The Jets, because the Jets are in the same situation as the Eagles. The Jets have talent that doesn't want to be Jets. Now the Eagles not only have talent that don't want to be Eagles, they have the quarterback is usually your leader, Rob. Usually your leader, at least your offensive leader for sure. I want to know how deep is the we don't like Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Because that's going to tell me a lot. I feel like the deeper of we don't like Jalen Hurts this is, that line not being held is an issue. We already saw how much that line plays a factor with Saquon Barkley.
Right.
He is not what we saw last year. He's not. He's had flashes of that at times during the season, but he is not what we saw.
No.
AJ Brown not wanting to be there is dangerous. Because you know what I heard? And if I was every NFL team, I'd be weary of this. They were like, what if Kansas City could maneuver and get A.J. Brown? Oof. And I said, if they let Kansas City, if they let Patrick Mahomes get another weapon, we're going to be howling about my homeboy in the Super Bowl for quite some time.
Yep.
Okay? And he's already poised enough to do that to you anyway every year.
Yep.
Okay? He's dangerous. Eagles, they have to figure this out. I don't know what they got to do. I don't know if they got to pull a Doc Rivers and go to DeAndre Jordan's house and stick a chair up under the door and let's have a talk on what they have to do for this, but that team needs to have conversations with the head coaches and figure this shit out right now. Yep. But as of right now, they're him, but they can figure out how to be them in a swift second.
Yeah.
They could definitely figure out how to be them in a swift second. The Ravens. Rob, I'm going to probably throw out an unpopular opinion right here. Okay. I'm probably throw out a very unpopular opinion. I think that the Ravens may be them.
Really?
Yes. And I'm going to explain why. I've been deep diving on a lot of things, and one thing that I'm extremely, even though the Ravens have won the last three in a row, it's not technically that they're a NIM right now, but the future speaks so many volumes to the testament of what happens to quarterbacks like Lamar. Mm-hmm. He's around the time of his body may start breaking out on him because he runs too much. And even though they're winning right now, I think because he hasn't fully mastered that pocket presence, this could come back to hurt them mm-hmm. in the long run. Because let's be real, they also have a little Chiefs voodoo doll running around on their back too.
Right.
Okay. He has to figure out how to be healthy and stay healthy. And he's going to learn how to sit in that pocket, bro. And I remember years ago people saying you can't change him, you can't tell him to keep running, not to run, and this, that, and the other. And I'll say this. It's other quarterbacks who figured out when to run and when not to run.
Yeah.
Okay. And he needs to figure that out. He needs to figure that out for his body.
I think he has for the most part. I think he just hasn't. It's just been coming to bite him here and there. But I mean, I don't think he's as bad as like other quarterbacks. Like you ain't gonna hear this about Joe Burrow or some shit like that.
Nah. Joe Burrow's offensive line is so bad. I think me and you could go out there on defense and beat one of them. We might be able to at least double team one of them, knock somebody over, and get to Joe Burrow. He's
yeah.
Hey, it is what it is. Him and them and probably, I'm trying to think.
Houston.
Yeah. Houston kind of got a paper mache lineup, too. It is what it is. But you feel like they're, which one you feel like they're him, though, right?
I think of them as him. But you actually kind of swayed me a little bit because it's like, I think that they do have that kind of like, they could be them at any time. Kind of like the Eagles in a sense. But it's also just like, I think of them as like, I think they're going to be him, especially once they get healthy, you know, get Lamar basically playing, you know, Derrick Henry playing with a head of steam and everything like that. Like,
yeah.
I think they're going to be him when it's all said and done.
They just scare me so bad, Rob. Like,
yeah.
I know
yeah.
that they winning, but it's like, okay, you beat the Vikings, which y'all put up a pretty good fight against them. I'm not going to lie. That was a pretty good fight. You beat the Dolphins and you beat the Bears. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's like, I see who you beat. One of them in there is like, he beat the Cleveland Browns. Okay. The Dolphins beat the Cleveland Browns. It's like, eh.
Yeah. Like, but you know who couldn't beat the Cleveland Browns?
Who?
Those damn Packers.
Which is crazy work. Packers, I don't know what to tell y'all about that. I don't know what to tell y'all about that at all. I was like, oh, the Packers gonna beat them, and then they couldn't beat them. Just crazy work. But the next team on him and them, Chargers. How do you feel about the Chargers?
I think they're him. Like, they're a top 10 team all yes. around. Like top 10 offense, top 10 defense. It's crazy. Like, the only thing that really hurts them is that the Chiefs coming up, to be honest. Like, that's the only thing. Cause like, I don't think we can really rely on the Broncos, especially with Patrick Surtain being hurt. Like, I don't think we really can rely on the Broncos to be like that. But like,
The Broncos just showed us last week that they can shit the bed.
Yep.
They can shit the bed, and it's going to be hard. That Broncos game showed me two things. As much as Sean Payton loves Bo Nix, it's just times when he just ain't ready. Mm-hmm. He just ain't ready. And I'm just looking like, damn. You had such a great year last year. Yeah. And this year, you looking like ass. You. Right. It's like everybody's like, what the fuck's going on with Bo? You. It's like, I don't know, bro. It's like, I couldn't tell you. I cannot tell you. You know, I'll say this. Chargers definitely him. I agree with you. It's just that Patrick Mahomes voodoo dog.
It's right there, just waiting.
Whenever he appears in your house, you got to be like, get up out of here.
Shoot, shoot.
And pray that he going to do it to you, because he'll do it to you. He's like that. He's like that stupid little thing. I'll do it, and he'll do it. And he will win, and you won't know what to say. You'll be like, damn it, he beat me. That's all you really be able to say. Last but not least, the Patriots. Rob, the Patriots are him right now to me.
Yep.
They're him right now.
I agree.
Drake May doing his thing. Henderson smashing people. He's doing his thing, though. He's doing his thing. Three touchdowns last week. Three touchdowns.
Yeah. This Patriots team is so good. Like, It's kind of wild that they made it, that they were able to be so good so quick. Like, basically all they did was change the coach. They put some more money into their line, drafted Will Campbell from
Go Tigers.
LSU, which was, let me tell you something, you goddamn New England Patriots. Whenever y'all drafted Will Campbell, I remember thinking, these SOBs are freaking stacking his line to make sure that they keep him upright, and goddamn it, he's helped do a hell of a job for them keeping him upright. Uh-huh. And all I could think was, man, somebody could have Will Campbell, and Will Campbell's just over there just keeping the quarterback upright. Just you ain't going down back there, quarterback. I got you.
Yep.
It's like, god damn it. It's like, they knew that they had him. They knew that. But look, the Patriots did something that I didn't think was possible. They got rid of Mac Jones, which people thought might be a potential quarterback for them. You sent him. Yeah, he's had another life for right now in San Francisco. But New England's just him right now. New England is him, and they're young, and they're running. Like I told somebody, their biggest fear is going to be playoffs.
Yep.
It's going to be, how do they respond in the playoffs? And
you go to Arrowhead, or can Arrowhead come to you? Or Mahomes come to you?
Look, I chance Arrowhead come to me, because I don't want to go over there. Because I feel like playing Kansas City in their house, whenever Patrick Mahomes is catching rhythm and everything else, I just feel like that's just, it's like asking to get shot. Okay? It is not just a regular shot, one shot, boom. It's like, I might put 2-3 in you, you know, to prove a point. And they might be able to do it. It's going to be crazy. As we watch this play out over the next few weeks, we'll have better insight to what people may or may not see. But it's pretty much a good group of hymns right now. It's a good group of hymns right now. Yep. It's a good group of hymns. But with that being said, me and Rob have given you our live weekly show. Just two homies kicking it, telling y'all everything that y'all want to know. Our opinions on sports and sports news, what's going on in the media. Oh yeah, Patrick Beverly, don't drop the soap if they got you in there. If you're innocent, boy. You're innocent, you know you.
Boy. Yeah, you know. Woo! But look, karma sometimes takes its time, but sometimes karma be like, you know what? Let's speed rush this. Let's go through this. Like, shouldn't have been talking shit.
Sometimes he do that next day delivery. You know you. Mm-mm. Right. Like, I got this. What's this? Karma in a box. Take it.
Right. Whoop. Ratchet.
Nah, but they did get him. Patrick said he ain't do nothing. He waiting on a bond. I don't know if he's waiting on a bond still or they didn't let him be released. He got a bond or whatever. But I'll say this. I think after this situation, he gonna be learning his lesson if he did do something, because they say he was in the choking somebody, wrong. See, he was in there choking. Cause whenever they described in the police report, they were like restricting someone's airway. I was like, ah, he was choking somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, y'all could just put that.
Yeah, choking. Like, we know what choking means.
Hey, look, my question was it two hands frontal? Or did he have from the back like Jody had Jody was getting choked on baby boy? You know what I mean? He got you locked in like Jody. Go ahead, cry for mom. Cry for mom, man. You couldn't get nothing out, you know. Even if it was a Popeye's biscuit and you had 2 liters of lemonade, maybe you couldn't get your cry for help out if somebody was to grab you like that, Patrick. But hey, we'll never know. But we might find out. We might find out. Cause you in jail right now, but locked up. What do you have to say, though, Rob, before we get about here?
All right. Good night, Canada. Good night, Taylor Swift. Again, thank you for coming to watch us. Please follow us to our new channel.
Yes.
Where we're going to be Bramigos.
Yeah, we're going to be the Bramigos podcast live.
Yeah, we're going to give you the same old goodness, just at a new spot. So just go ahead, follow us. Go ahead, you know, keep on liking, subscribing. Basically, you subscribe to our channel, you're going to get when we go live. I know it's been a little sporadic, but look, you're going to find out when we find out. Because yep. We're going to tell you when we live. And then we're going to basically, Nate's going to basically put up more stuff. We're going to, me and Jarvis, going to try to follow along because, like, hey, everybody busy, including Nate.
Yes.
So we're going to basically provide you more content. Please come and look at us. These beautiful faces.
Yeah. Come check us out. Come have fun. Subscribe, like, ring the bell. You know, tell everybody about us. Yep. Bramigos Podcast. And we are getting up out of here. Thanks for being with us live. You guys have a great night. Watch some basketball and watch some football tomorrow. The old foosball.
The old foosball behind my back.
Yeah. No, look. Well, you can go watch foosball behind our back. You know, we ain't gonna do you like Bobby Boucher Mom. You know, we want you to get that in. But we're out of here, though. Peace.